Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Fine, Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. I'm in a series on grace. I'm going to talk about it again tonight. I think I've got this preached tonight on it, and then I may have one or two more times. We'll see. But let's go to Hebrews 13, and we're just talking about understanding grace. Particularly, want to talk about getting your heart, you know, established in it, you know, in the grace of God tonight. You know, you have to have an understanding of things for them to work for you. You know, spiritual things. You don't have to understand everything in the natural. I mean, you know, you have to have some understanding. You know, some things in the natural work for you. But, you know, you don't have to have total understanding. But spiritual things, you need understanding. Amen?
Right. Yeah.
You need wisdom and revelation about things. And so, you know, I mean, I don't understand everything about an airplane. I understand some things, but I still get on one and fly because I know they work. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are afraid to fly because they say, you know, well, what if that thing, you know what I'm saying, what if it crashes? Well, you know, listen, there's far less accidents up there than there are down here. There's a lot less knuckleheads up there than there are down here. Believe me, these guys that get up there, they got to have some smarts about them to get up there. Amen. And so, you know, but the thing of it is the things of grace and things like that, there needs to be an understanding in the church about grace because there seems to be a really lack of understanding about it today. You know, people have a tendency to go to one direction or the other. They either get in the ditch on the left side or the right side. You get those that, man, it's all self-effort, you know, it's all what I do. And then you get those that, you know, like, I don't have to do anything, you know, and all. But, you know, both are wrong. There's a middle road to this thing. Amen. So let's go here to Galatians chapter 13. We're going to look at maybe a few passages tonight. May not go long tonight, but that's okay. We're going to put you some stuff into you tonight by the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 13. All right, verse 9 says, "Be not carried about." I'll tell you, let's just back up to verse 7. I think I want to get this. It says, "Remember them that have the rule over you." Talking about spiritually, the leaders who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, that's King James, or their manner of life, or their conduct, or how their lives go. Amen?
Yeah.
In other words, listen, it's really important today that we understand we don't just listen to fancy words. We don't just get taken in by, you know, nice buildings, lots of people, but we check the content, the conduct of people.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, no offense meant by this, but there's a lot of people that have big spotlights in the church today that their character doesn't match their spotlight at all. And if you knew them personally, you'd think, well, man, this person, you know, I don't know how in the world they got where they got. Well, it's called marketing.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, we need to check the conduct, you know, their conversation, their manner of life. You know, you get somebody that's been preaching the gospel for 50 years and they're living holy and righteous, you can pretty much follow that person, right? Now, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, here's the thing. This verse just looks like it's just thrown in there out of nowhere. I mean, he's talking about follow the, you know, the leaders, you know, and follow their faith. And then he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's like, well, where did that come from? Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying, follow those leaders whose life exemplify that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
Leaders that preach Jesus has changed, he doesn't do what he used to do, don't follow them.
Right.
Just don't follow them. I didn't say you don't walk in love towards them, just don't follow that.
Right.
Don't follow that. You know, I don't follow people that say healing's passed away. I don't follow people that say the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. I don't follow people that say tongues have passed away. I didn't say I didn't like them. I didn't say I wouldn't be friendly with them. I said I don't follow them. I don't follow their ministry. I don't follow their teaching. Because that'll get off on you. So I don't follow that. Why? Because I'm told not to follow that. If they're preaching and their lives don't exemplify that, if their lives don't exemplify and their preaching doesn't exemplify Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever, I'm not supposed to follow them. That takes out a lot of people, doesn't it? So you got to watch who you follow. You know what I'm saying? Now, he says, verse 9, this is what I wanted to get to. Be not carried about with divers or different and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, this is the old King James, and you know, meats means foods. But he said, it's a good thing that the heart's established with grace and not with foods, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, we would say it more, to understand this, we would say it more like this. It's a good thing to have your heart established in grace and not in works.
Yeah.
What you do. Good. You know, what he's talking about here, now, you know, we don't know what all the church that he's writing to got into, but evidently they were all caught up in the food they eat. Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Now, understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about that they, you know, he's not talking about they were healthy eaters. He was talking about they were all caught up in what they eat and had their heart established in what they were doing and what they were eating and what they weren't eating. And he said, that doesn't do anything for you spiritually. Can I come down here and talk to you a little bit?
Amen.
Did you know if you eat a greasy hamburger, it doesn't make you less spiritual? It might kill you if you ate enough of them. If that's all you lived off of, it might kill you. But it doesn't do anything spiritually to you. You know, years ago, some of the old line Pentecostal holiness people, they thought drinking Pepsi was a sin. Well, it's not a sin. It has nothing to do with your spiritual life. It has to do with your natural life. Okay? All right, so you might not want to drink it, and it might not be the healthiest thing you ever drank in your life, all right? And if you drank it all the time, you might get in trouble. But the thing of it is, that's where their faith was at. Their faith was in what they were doing. And Paul said, it's a good thing that your heart get established in God's grace. Because if you try to follow these things, now, he said foods, but let's just everybody say works. Because that's the implication here, really. If we get involved in what we're doing, what we're not doing, instead of His grace, He said it doesn't profit you. And He said you'll be occupied in it. In other words, here's the thing that I've noticed over the years is those that, base their salvation on what they do, they never do enough. About the time you think you've done enough and you feel good about yourself, man, I prayed 20 hours this week, Pastor. Amen. I fasted 3 days. You know, he's always going to bring something else up you need to do. Because he can get you in bondage, he will. Now, so he said it's a good thing. It's a good thing that your heart be established in grace. Get it established in the grace of God. Amen. That it's not about what we do, it's about what He's already done. Are you with me now? See, there's a scripture here in Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. I want to read this. I wasn't planning on, but I want to read this because this is so good. And it talks about what Jesus has done for us through His death, burial, His resurrection, through His blood. And in Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Hallelujah. And every priest stands daily ministering and oftentimes offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Now, the NLT says this, where the King James says that he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The NLT says it this way. I like this. It says, it's good for all time. Good for all time. In other words, when you came to Jesus, it's good for all time. Oh, pastor, you're preaching eternal security now. I mean, you're preaching. No, you can get out of it if you want to get out of it. Right? See, those that preach eternal security, I just don't understand where they get that at, because you're telling me that you got in something and God won't let you out now? God lets you out. You get out. But you have to get out. If you don't get out, you're in. Amen. Now, maybe you believe in eternal security. I'm not going to fight a war with you because you're wrong. I've got all kinds of scriptures, so don't even come at me, because you're going to lose badly. You're going to leave bleeding and wounded. And pastor's so mean because, man, I'm loaded for bear. You know why? Because when I first got saved, man, this was a big issue with us, you know. We fought these wars. I know the scriptures, and the scriptures teach if we continue in the faith. Now, that's plain enough for me. Sorry I lost all my eternal security friends. But we love you. Believe it if you want that. If you want to believe it that way, believe it that way. Just make sure you live right for God. Amen. So anyway. Anyway, but here's the thing. As long as we stay in Christ, that sacrifice is good for all time. Amen. As long as we have faith in Christ, right? Amen. Well, what about, pastor? What about the people that say they have faith in Christ and they don't live for Him? They don't have faith in Him. They may have a head faith, but see, true Bible faith clings to, adheres to, relies on, trusts in. You read Hebrews 11 about the hall of faith who was in there. They weren't people that were half-baked people that were halfway serving God. You got Abraham in there, Sarah in there, Moses in there, David in there, Gideon in there. You know what I'm saying? You got Joseph in there, Jacob in there. These are people that live for God, right? So, you know, I know there's a group today that they don't even live for God. But, yeah, years ago when I was 7, I prayed a prayer and I'm good, you know, eternal security and all that. Well, listen, I don't even know if you ever really got saved. And if you did, you've backslidden. A guy in this church told me, he said, I don't believe in backsliding. I don't believe. I said, well, then don't do it. Amen. But don't tell me it's not possible, because I've seen them do it. Hallelujah. Remember the scripture we read here? Stay away from strange and goofy doctrines. Those are strange and goofy doctrines. Amen. But here's the thing for us believers. You know, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we do everything right all the time. But we have faith. We're following after the Lord. Man, we are perfected forever. It's good for all time. Hallelujah. So it isn't about what I'm doing. It's about what Jesus did. God is satisfied with you. Well, I don't feel like He is. Well, listen, Isaiah said that Jesus would go through what He went through at the cross and see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. God is satisfied with you because of Jesus. Can you really think that maybe you could add something to it that would help it? Think about it. I mean, I know, God, You sent Jesus to die, shed His blood, but I have a little bit I could do to help that out. I mean, that's just crazy, isn't it? There's nothing we can do to help it out. It's finished, praise God. Our job is to receive it. Nothing you could do to help it out. Well, I just feel like if I just lived as holy as you and Miss Phyllis, that God would, He would really, really be pleased with me. You know, God's not pleased with any of us. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying is, God is pleased with us, first of all, because of Jesus Christ. And yes, God wants us to live holy lives, and we ought to want to live holy lives. But we're not saved by our holy living. We're saved by Jesus Christ. If that was the case, I'd have to start living holy before I ever got saved. And you can't do that. All right? Amen? Look at Luke chapter 18. Go over there. We're just talking about, you know, understanding grace, having your heart established in God's grace, and not in what you do. You know, we should do things for God because we love Him. And what I found out is when you get saved and you start reading His Word and you start fellowship, when you get hungry, you just want to do things that are pleasing to God. You want to obey the word. You know, it isn't like you have to, it's you want to. And when you do miss it, you're bad. You feel bad about it. I mean, you just feel like, what did I do that for? That was stupid. That was dumb. All right. So how many of you ever felt that way? I mean, what did I do that? That was dumb. That was stupid. You know, because that's not your heart. Your heart's to please God. Amen. But let's go to Luke 18. I hope this makes sense tonight. I knew when I came here, I'm going to have a lot of help for this one to work. Which is the case all the time, but you know, sometimes I need a little extra help tonight, Lord. Luke 18, verse 9. And this is Jesus. He spake a parable unto them, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and that they were righteous, and despised others. Now, you know, here's what happens, and I see this. When you start trusting in you know, like, well, I don't do that, you start despising other people. Are you with me? See, sometimes people get that self-righteous thing. Christians do. Get that self-righteous thing. Well, I don't do that. Well, okay. It's good you don't. But, you know, you better thank God you don't do it. Instead of trusting yourself. You know, you say, Pastor, what do you do? Well, I tell you what, you may not believe this, but I pray and I ask God to help me and keep me.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think I'm such a hot rod. That, you know, there's been a lot of preachers fall and get into trouble, get into false doctrine, get into moral sin, get into financial sin. I don't think I got all this together to where I'm such a hot rod it wouldn't happen to me. I ask God to help me. Help me, Lord. I need your grace. I need your power. Amen. Now, I do my part by spending time with Him and walking in the Spirit, but I need His help. I know that. I know there's been better men than I have fallen. And so, you know, I'm what did Jesus say? He said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, what did He mean for that? Well, He just basically, that's a prayer to be kept. To be led by the Spirit of God and be kept. Amen. So, you can't depend on yourself. You know, well, I don't do that. And well, all right, that's good you don't, but guess what? Don't look down on others because they do. If anything, help them.
That's right.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Amen. Notice this, verse 10, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other one a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed. Now, this is good. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. In other words, God said, I'm not listening to this mess.
Yeah.
He's praying with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Amen. Now, how many know, this is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it good to not be an extortioner?
Right. Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Unjust, adulterer,
yeah.
Or a tax collector? Amen. I don't know if the IRS likes the Bible or not, but anyway. How many know, it's good to fast twice a week.
Yeah.
It's good to give tithes of all you possess.
Right.
So what's this guy's problem? Have you noticed all the I's in this? I. What did Jesus say? Them which trusted in themselves, they were righteous.
Right.
He's trusting himself. Is he doing right things? I said, is he doing right things?
Yeah.
Right. He's doing right things, isn't he?
Correct.
He's doing things that the Bible commands, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's his problem? He trusts in that. That's where his heart's established. His heart isn't established in God's grace, God's mercy. His heart's established in this. I'm doing this right. See, somebody, well, I tell you what, I confess that 500 times a day. Well, I've confessed that 500 times a day. Well, if you're depending on your confession alone, then you got a problem. See, what happens is you can be word of faith and get like this. Well, I tell you what, I got those scriptures posted all over my house. I confess 500 times a day. Well, is that good? It is, isn't it? Nothing wrong with it. But guess what? You know what? Don't just depend on that. Depend on the mercy of God, the grace of God. Because, you know, sometimes God heals people that haven't confessed a single scripture. Don't even know about it. Right? Remember that guy at the pool of Bethesda? You know, he was there waiting for the moving of the water, you know? And because every certain season, an angel would go down to the pool and trouble the water. Whoever got in first got healed. And this guy, Jesus, looks at him and says, "Will you be made whole?" He said, "Well, I have no man to put me in the pool when the waters are troubled." You know, and he'd been there for 38 years. I thought after 38 years, I'd have found a friend to throw me in. But anyway, Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." He got up and walked. Now, you know, here's the thing. He didn't have any faith. The reason I know he didn't have any faith, because he would cook up his bed, carried it on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, the religious people, saw him and said, "What are you doing? It's not legal for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath." He said, "The same that told me to take it up and made me whole told me to do this." They said, "Who was it?" Somebody said, "He didn't even know who he was. He didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't know who it was." How much faith did he have in Jesus? He didn't even know it was Jesus. He didn't know who it was. How much faith was this guy exhibiting? Zero. But he got healed, didn't he? See, sometimes I think we depend more on what we do than what God can do. Amen. Is it right to confess the word? Yeah. Well, have we taught you that? Is it right, you know, to put scriptures up? Yeah, but if that's where your heart's just established in that, then you're getting off a little bit. Amen. I've seen God heal people. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you, He heals people sometimes that, you just make your head like, what happened there? But how many, He's God, right? And He's full of grace. And He's full of mercy. Oh, yeah. How many remember Catherine Kuhlman from years ago? Yeah, she used to... You know, a healing evangelist lady, she always said that God had other people that she'd picked to do it, but they wouldn't do it, so God chose her. And she did a pretty good job. But anyway, you know, and she had a, I remember when I was younger, she had a primetime television show. You know, it might have been called Miracles Now or something. I can't remember what it's called now. It might have been I Believe in Miracles. But, you know, she told a story one time about a guy came to her meetings now, and he's, you know, the auditorium is a big auditorium thing, and it's got, you know, the choir around the outside of it, you know, and all, before you come into the auditorium. And there's a guy out there, and he is making fun of people as they come in. He's harassing people. He doesn't believe in this. He doesn't believe in miracles. He believes she's a phony, she's a fake, and he's out there harassing people. And he was deaf in one ear, and all of a sudden, bam, his ear got opened.
Wow.
Got healed. Well, that's called mercy. That's called God just good. So he wanders in. He wanders into the auditorium. And what she would do was if you got healed, you'd get in the line and you'd tell one of the workers what you was healed of. And they would decide whether you're legit or you're not legit. And then they might let you up on the stage to testify, see. And so they let him up. And he gets up there and he says, "I was out there and telling what he's doing, and he said, 'I don't even believe in God. I'm an atheist.' And he said, 'My ear got opened.'" And Miss Kuhlman, she just looked at him and said, "Sir, get on your knees." He got on his knees and gave his life to Jesus Christ. You think God could still do that if he wanted to? They had no faith. This guy had no faith, right? See, but yet you get, "I don't understand why God healed that guy. I've been confessing the word for 37 years. Well, maybe it's because you're dependent on what you're doing.
Yeah.
This guy didn't know to do anything.
Right.
Are you with me now? See, there's a balance to it. I said there's a balance to it. Amen.
Amen.
And this guy right here, he's doing the right things, isn't he? Sure. But notice verse 13, and the publican, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He got what he came for, rather than the other, For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Everybody that trusts in himself is going to come up short. But I want you to notice, what was the problem? Well, the Pharisee, it was all about him. I. The tax collector, the publican, he just said God. Are you listening now? I. Look at the tax collector, the Pharisees. What did he say? God. One's I, one's God. One said I, what I've done. One just said, God, be merciful. Wow. He got something. Praise God. Amen. Paul. Let's go here to 2 Timothy. Paul told Timothy something. Come on, are you getting something tonight? All right, 2 Timothy. So it isn't a matter of you know, our self-efforts. It's a matter of what Christ has already provided for at Calvary. Amen. Now, we do things to access the grace, which we're going to talk about that in our next teaching. There's like four things I want to share with you that we do to access the grace of God. One is, and I'll give them to you, but I'll teach on them later on. One, faith. We access God's grace through faith. Two, we access God's grace through knowledge. You can't have what you don't know. Three, we access God's grace through humility. God gives grace to the humble. Four, we access it through boldness. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace. So there's four, there's maybe more than this, but there's four things I'm going to talk to you about. We access the grace of God, but listen, our hearts shouldn't be on the be established in what we're doing. It should be established in the fact that God's a good God. Amen. I mean, I've seen Him heal people. You know, it's just like they didn't do anything to deserve this. It's just God's goodness, His mercy. Amen. You know, Brother Hagin talked about that. I've told you about that young lady got in his prayer line, and he said, I don't even know why I said it. He said, but when I got up to her, I just started saying out, fools because of their iniquities are afflicted. Fools because of their iniquities are afflicted. Fools because of their iniquities are afflicted. Say you're that fool and God will heal you. The lady just started going, I'm that fool, and got healed. You know, well, he didn't know the story, but later on found out she lived really loose, had contacted a sexually transmittable disease, and it had messed up her body and messed up her life, and she just lived a fool. And God just said, just admit it, and I'll heal you. And she admitted it, and she got healed. That's called humility. That's called man tapping into grace. Are you with me now? Now, I've seen this. I've even seen it in our church. You know, Brother Hagin talked about this, and this is another story of Brother Hagin's. I know Brother Hagin's story because I grew up on him. But, you know, spiritually. Well, he talked about one time, he said, I was in a church, and he said, the Lord said to me, he said, I want to heal everybody that has something from their waist down here tonight. Everybody that has something from their waist down. He said, 10 people came up. And he said, you know, some of them had different issues with their limbs and things from the waist down. But he said, one particular guy, he couldn't even stand up straight. He said, he waddled up there like a duck, you know, kind of like this kind of deal coming up there. He said, they all got up there. And he said, I went to this for, and he said, I stepped down off the platform and the Lord spoke to him by the Spirit and said, don't lay hands on them, just tell them to run and they'll be healed. He said, I told the first one, run. He said, they took off and ran, and they were healed. Next one, run, and they took off, and they were healed. He got to the guy that waddled like a duck. You know, he couldn't stand up. You know, he said, the Lord said, tell you run, and you'll be healed. And he said, that guy, he said, you should see him. He's just making a lap around the church. He couldn't stand up. He said, he went around. He still wasn't healed. He said, Brother Hagin said, well, go again. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. He went around, still wasn't healed. The third time, Brother Hagin ran with him. But he said, by the time we got halfway to the back of the church, the guy was standing up straight, running on his own. He said, I got to the final one, a lady, an older lady. And he said, ma'am, he said, well, you heard what the Lord said. Run and you'll be healed. And she looked at Brother Hagin and said, I can't run. He said, well, ma'am, the rest of these couldn't run either. I know, but the doctor says, he said, well, go back to your seat. Why? Because she just simply wouldn't humble herself. I've seen that. Now, why would God have somebody do that? Well, why would Jesus put mud in a guy's eye and ask him if he saw anything? I mean, he's blind now. He's got mud in his eyes. Looks like we're compounding the problem. Why would Jesus do that? He spit one time and touched the guy's tongue. That one guy, he spit on the ground, made mud balls, and put them in his eyes. He said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's like, why'd you put it in there if you want it washed off? Does that make any sense to you? It may not make any sense to you, but it certainly makes faith, and it made healing. And see, you just, if it's God, it's God. He, you know, he's not weird, but sometimes he has you do unusual things. Phyllis may remember this service. A friend of ours, you know, he was preaching one. He was in town. When we lived somewhere else, he was in town. We went to the meeting. We've known him for a long, long time, been friends for many, many years. Preached together. He's an evangelist. And, you know, I saw him. We was at this meeting one night, and this lady came up there. He said, there's somebody here. You've got something wrong with your ankle. There's a lady come up. I mean, she's just hobbling. It's obvious she had something wrong with her ankle. He said, now stick it out there. And she stuck it out there. He had, you know, in those days, this is the 1980s, a lot of those preachers wore cowboy boots, you know. And I still like them. And so he just took his cowboy boot and kicked her ankle. I thought, boy, well, somebody's getting in trouble here. If this doesn't work, I mean, I don't know the guy, all right? If it doesn't work, I don't know him. And she went, ah! And all of a sudden she went, wait a minute. And she was totally healed. Why did God do that? I don't know. Tell me, Pastor. I don't know. But if it worked, why argue with it? Jesus did some things I don't know. Right? I mean, he did some unusual things sometimes. But if they got people healed, praise God. See, part of it is humility. And I've seen that happen. I've seen, like, we had a guest minister, and he told one of our people to run, and they wouldn't run. They didn't get healed. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, don't be dumb.
Yeah, that's good. That's right. That's real good.
Well, if they told me to run, I wouldn't run. Well, you wouldn't get healed. You wouldn't receive. Sometimes you got to humble yourself. Amen. Well, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, there you go. See, it doesn't matter about what makes sense to us. It's about, are you with me now? And God's not weird, and he's not doing weird things. And anything he tells you to do, it's going to work. People are going to be healed. Amen. So, but God heals people that, you know, I don't know why. He's God. He can do that. You know, he's just full of grace and mercy. Amen. Now, Paul told Timothy, did you find 2 Timothy? Go with me to verse 1. Paul said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, if you could be strong in grace, you could be weak in grace, couldn't you? Right? The opposite would be true. If he's saying being strong in grace, what's he telling Timothy? There's a possibility, son, that you might be weak in God's grace. You may be saved, but you may be weak in your operation of grace because your heart's not established in it. Your heart's established in what you do. Amen. You know, sometimes I think sometimes preachers fall off in this and they get so proud of their credentials, you know. I mean, I remember years ago it was popular to have on your bio that you pastored the fastest growing church in the area. I don't know how many preachers pastored. I remember dealing with this in the early 2000s. I couldn't tell you, Pastor Chuck, how many preachers pastored the fastest growing church in America. But there was a bunch of them. And I'm thinking, you know, listen, come on. Why do you have to say all that stuff? Do you have to build yourself up like that? I mean, you know, what's with this? I told somebody then, I think I told the church then, is when we were in that other building over in the Vogel Business Park. I said, well, I pastor the fastest growing church in the Vogel Business Park. I can put that on my bio. It was true, but it's vanity because there's only one church there. So it's true, but it's vanity. How many know sometimes, you know, we just need to just be humble. Amen. Amen. And thank God that he even allows us in the kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Now, all right, let's, I tell you what, we'll get ready to close out here, but let's go to Psalm 52. David said something there I want to read. Psalm 52. Our hearts have to be established in what God has done, not in what we're doing. Not that what we're doing is necessarily not valuable or important, but it's not the place to establish your heart. We're to establish our heart in grace. Amen. You know, so we're to put our faith in God's goodness and His mercy, not in what we've done. You know, we do the right things, but that's not where our faith's at. Our faith's in His goodness and His mercy. You know, because the thing of it is this. I don't know whether people realize this or not, but you may be doing your best to live for God, which is a good thing. You should. You know, but you got to understand that all your self-efforts, I mean, it's just not going to get it done. You got to have help. You got to have grace. You got to have mercy. Right. I remember, like, this evangelist, he really failed miserably. I mean, miserably. And got caught in immorality and sin. And I remember, you know, his confession, you know, when he got caught, his confession. One of the things that he said, and it sounds good, but you just have to, you just had to understand where I'm coming from. You have to understand where I'm coming from. But his confession was, he said, I have tried so hard all my life to serve God. Well, maybe you have. But maybe you're just dependent on you. Maybe that's your problem. You just saw what I've done. Amen. You know, there's people that look down, you know, Christians look down on other Christians because they don't do it like they do it. Oh yeah, there's some that don't even think you and I are saved. Well, you know, here's the thing. See, that kind of pride, that's going to get you in trouble. Oh, yeah. Sometimes, this is going to offend some people, but it's just the truth. I'm just really weary of all the cats running around throwing the apostle out and prophet out all the time. You know, Brother Hagin said it right. You can put a label on an empty can and it's still an empty can. If you are that, you just do that. But it's always like, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm the most apostle so-and-so. And I really doubt that about 90... listen now, hear me now. All this Christian magazines and all the Christian TV, I tell you what, I would say only about 5% of those that call themselves apostles are really apostles. Most of them are not. Never started a church in their life. Never started a work in their life. Have no clue what they're talking about. They just run around with a title.
That's good preaching.
Praise God. That's not popular. People get mad over that, but it just happens to be the truth. If you're an apostle, you'll be out there doing the work of an apostle. What did Paul say? He said, man, I'm going out laying the foundation. I'm going where no man's gone. I mean, even Captain Kirk had that right. Boldly going where no man's gone before. See, you know, you're not just, you know, because we lived through that in the 80s where these guys were just handing out these titles. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm prophet so-and-so. Well, yeah, how come if you're prophet so-and-so, what is 85% of what you say doesn't come to pass?
Amen to that. That's good.
I mean, just stop.
Yeah,
if you're called to preach, just preach and be humble and let people put a tag on you. Amen. Now, I don't know. I'm weary of it, to be honest with you. I'm tired of seeing all that. I'm apostle this, I'm apostle that. I doubt it.
Amen.
How about Gary Walters, who's been in Honduras for over 30 years, who's established Bible schools in the country, who's established a local church, who's helped turn that nation from like 2% Christian when he came into there to where now it's like 40 or 50% Christian. How about a guy like that that doesn't go around calling himself an apostle? How about saying he's an apostle? He's got the fruit to prove it. And he's got the track record of living right, living clean, living holy, preaching the gospel, preaching, amen, good word from God, preaching faith, getting people saved, going into prisons, changing the prisons. That's an apostle. Not some guy that just wants to have some authority. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Now, all right, have you found Psalm 52? I don't know. Something's on me tonight, and it's good. Amen. Psalm 52, verse 7. David said, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Now, it's okay to be rich. How many know that? David was rich. Did you know that David gave, listen to this now, David gave over $851 million to the temple to help build the temple. Maybe I'll tell you that again. He gave over 800, and when you put it, you know, he talks about he gave so many talents of silver and gold and so forth. But when you add it up in today's standards, he gave over $851 million. I would not call that a poor person. That's a pretty big offering. But yet he didn't boast about his riches or his wealth. Matter of fact, in Psalm he said, "I'm poor and needy." I thought, Lord, make me that poor and needy. But he was talking about he needed God, right? Right? He didn't boast about his money. He didn't boast about his riches. He had it. But that wasn't where he trusted. He knew God gave him that. God told him. He said, "I gave you." Remember when the prophet Nathan came to him? God said to him through the prophet, he said, "I gave you all this stuff. I gave all of it to you." Where did David get it? God said, "I gave it all to you." And he said, "If that had been too little, if that wouldn't have satisfied you, I'd have given you much more." That's God. I love that. And yet, he gives over $851 million to help build the church. And he says this, verse 8, he said, he's talking about the man that trusted in himself. Verse 8, he said, "But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Amen. See, where's his heart at? It's not in what he did. And he was a man, listen now, he was a man of war. I'm telling you, David was a man of war. He was a powerful man. But he knew it. He knew it was God. I mean, he had an army like you would. He had some mighty men like you wouldn't believe. One of them stood in these bean patch, wasn't it, Pastor Chuck? Didn't he kill 800 people? Something like that with his sword. One guy. That's a pretty good guy to have in your army. And yet he's rich, he's wealthy, he has all. But he was so humble, he knew, man, this all came from God. I don't trust in that stuff. I'm trusting in the Lord. You notice in these Psalms, he didn't say, "My mighty men are going to protect me." No, he said, "The Lord's my keeper." Hallelujah. The Lord's my keeper. He's my defense. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Not all this money, not all these people. It's God. Thank God I got this stuff, but it's God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he didn't trust. He said, "I'm like a green olive tree because I trust in God's mercy." Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does that mean? Well, when we trust in God's mercy, we'll be like a green olive tree. You know, green just talks about being alive, being, you know, vibrant, amen, being fresh. How do you tell if a tree's got a, you know, if the limb on the tree's alive or dead? No leaves on it, no leaves on the tree. Well, you can walk out in the wintertime and you can tell whether those limbs are alive or dead. All you got to do is take a knife and scratch it. If it's green underneath, it's alive. And so, you know, that's what he's talking about. I'm green, I'm alive. Hallelujah. I like an olive tree. Well, where'd the anointing oil come from? Olive trees. He said, "I'm fresh, I'm alive, I'm anointed." What's a tree? A tree speaks of longevity. It's going to be there. It's going to be there for a long time. There are trees today in America that are hundreds of years old. Hundreds of years old. That's what happens when we trust in God. Man, we're fresh, we're alive, we're anointed. We're going to be around a long time. Glory be to God. Why? Because our hearts aren't established in us. Our hearts are established in God's grace. Thank God for grace. I said, thank God for grace. Glory be to God. Sure, God wants us to do the right thing. Sure, God wants us to live right. And sure, He wants us to, you know, pursue Him and all that. But He doesn't want our heart in that. He wants our heart trusting in Him, in His grace and His mercy. I don't know what God's got for us in the future, but I know this. Everything He has is good. Hallelujah. It's all good. I won't name the place, but in the last 50 years, probably one of the biggest revivals took place just out of God's mercy. I read the pastor's book, Pastor Chuck. He said, revival, he said it was a certain day of the year. He had a guest speaker in at his church, and he said, I was getting ready to resign. He said, I've just give up. I've done everything I know to do to get the church to grow and to take off. And he said, I was getting ready to hand in my resignation and had a guest speaker in. Glad he had a guest speaker in because he didn't feel like preaching. He was beat up. That's his testimony. He said, I had a guest speaker in and revival broke out and it lasted for years. He did everything he could do. Now it's time to let God do what He can do. God can do more than we can do. Amen. I loved His honesty. You know, He didn't go out and say, you know, God gave me this great wonder. Because I hear that. God gave me this vision. He gave me this plan. But I'd leave me out of it as much as I could. I believe I'd give God the glory. But I like this guy's testimony. He said, I was going to quit. How did you get revival? I was going to quit. What's the secret of revival? Think about quitting. You know, I mean, you follow what I'm saying. That was what he said in his book. You know, people, how did you get this revival? I mean, there was a lot of things happening in his church revival, and it lasted for quite a while. But his testimony was, I was going to quit. God just did something. Hallelujah. That's called mercy.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.